The Way That We Rust, an Avatar The Last Airbender story. Part 1 of the All Find My Way Down series. Written by Ar Asta. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. With the tags, Relationship, Iroh and Zuko. And the additional tags, Zuko Angst, Protective Zuko, Avatar. Hurt Zuko, Avatar. Hurt, Torture. Implied reference underage prostitution. Forced prostitution. Long Fang is a horrible person. Badass Zuko. Storytelling. Dark. Brainwashing. Character death. Angst and hurt comfort. Captivity. Coercion. Alternate universe canon divergence. Summary. Zuko doesn't know how long he's been in Ba Sing Se. Fight, they say, and he fights. Eat, they say, and he eats. Jump, they say, and he asks how high. Some days, he just cries. Zuko doesn't know how long he's been in Ba Sing Se. In the beginning, everything was hazy, uncertain. He slept for hours and hours and couldn't keep anything down. He knows he raved at night, screamed and fought the guards. He knows because they mock him for it now. He knows while he was crawling his way out of his head, his uncle was being pushed deeper into his. 2. Long Feng smiles without smiling, his eyes flickering with grim amusement as Zuko kneels in front of his uncle. Iroh, Zuko insists. Uncle, your name is Iroh. Uncle tilts his head, his eyes vacant. You must be mistaken. My name is Mushi. I am a tea maker, he says for the millionth time, and Zuko doesn't know what to do. Zuko stares at his cell wall all night, thinking of his uncle's clean hair and unlocked door. Of the single Dai-Li stationed in the room. Of, you must be mistaken. My name is Mushi. I am a tea maker. 3. The next day, he downs the agent with a single blow, grabs his uncle by the arm and says, hurry. The old man just tilts his head. He doesn't move. Uncle, we have to go. Zuko yanks his arm harder, listening for footsteps, for approaching guards, thinking of the path most likely to lead to the surface. Zuko feels Iroh move and makes towards the door, only to find himself flat on his back with no air in his lungs. Uncle? He gasps. The Dragon of the West is sitting in the chair again, sipping his tea. Uncle, we have to go now, Zuko says, getting to his feet. You can take your tea, just come with me. Iroh doesn't even look at him. Please, Uncle. He won't leave. Zuko whirls towards the door, fire wreathing his fists to face Long Fang. What did you do to him? He hisses. It's a complicated art, elegant and quite irreversible, Long Fang says. He is useless to us now. He told us everything we asked, and now all he knows is how to make 34 unique blends of jasmine. The only thing he can give us now is public execution. The Dragon of the West is so very well known in Ba Sing Se. Zuko feels himself shaking. His fire is gone, lost with his breath. What do you want? He asks. Your cooperation, Long Fang answers. 4. Do you have a knife? He asks the guard that evening, staring at the ceiling of his cell. 5. Long Fang doesn't comment on his freshly shorn head. It's oddly light without the weight of the phoenix tail, and sickeningly heavy with the weight of his shame. Longfeng smiles without smiling, and Zuko knows he knows what it means. It means defeat. It means yes. It means he'll do whatever he's asked. 6. They hold his uncle over his head like a prize and like a threat. They bring him more food than he has had in weeks, and he's only halfway through it when he vomits. They make him watch as they break 3 of Iroh's fingers. He eats the rest. There is a training regimen and a feeding schedule and a sleeping schedule. Every minute is planned, every second allotted. 7. Zuko's hair is still rough and spiky when they start to bring him to the combat room. Fight, they say, and he fights. Eat, they say, and he eats. Jump, they say, and he asks how high. 8. He has to remind his uncle who he is every time they let him visit. Your nephew, he says softly. Uncle, I'm your nephew, remember? Lee? His uncle stares at the wall, drinks the tea Zuko makes for him. Zuko, uncle, my name is Zuko. Zuko combs his tangled hair and tells him stories of their adventures on the Wani, the few months sandwiched between Agni Kai and activity. You are Lee? Iroh asks for the 3rd time that day, and Zuko feels something inside him break. Sure, uncle, he manages. I can be Lee. He cries for the first time since the Wani was captured. 9. He fights for hours and hours, kicking, punching, dodging rocks, spitting fire. Some days they set 1 or 2 Dai Li on him. Some days they set 12. They run scenarios, a plaza, a bunker, a party. Sometimes some of the Dai Li fight alongside him. Sometimes he's alone. They've been at it for weeks when he walks in to see a bed fitted with red silk curtains at the center of the room, a rug on the floor, tables and chases, and oh, agony! He stops dead in the doorway and tries to tear his eyes away, tries to ignore it, tries, tries, tries. Kid, come on, one of the agents is saying, one of the ones who fights on his side sometimes. You gotta breathe. He can't. He's drowning. He's... There are calloused hands on either side of his head, fingers tugging on new hair. He's on the floor. He doesn't know how he got there. The agent presses their foreheads together, blocking his view of the perfect replica of his little sister's bedroom. Look at me, kid. Come on. There's nowhere else to look. There we go. Breathe with me, okay? In, out. In, out. The agent, Jingsheng, locks his green gaze to Zuko's gold until he comes around enough to shove him away. He slumps against the doorframe and pants, feeling wild, feeling unhinged, feeling... Traitor! 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 You're going to kill them, he breathes, and Jing Chang's face tightens. Agni, you're... I can't. I can't. I can't! 30 seconds of listening to his uncle scream, and he can. It takes 6 Dai Li 4 minutes to take him down. 10. She's 12, he says one day to Jingsheng. My sister is 12. He doesn't say, she's stronger than me. He doesn't say, she'll eat you alive. He doesn't say, if you want to practice killing an Imperial Firebender, you should have used Uncle as your hostage. He is only alive because they do not know these things. Uncle is only alive because they do not know these things. They think he is useful, so he lives. Uncle lives. She's 12, he says. 11. Fight, they say, and he fights. Eat, they say, and he eats. Sleep, they say, and he wakes screaming, his sister's, father's, uncle's blood on his hands. 12. His hair tickles his ears now, brushes the back of his neck. It is soft. He wonders if it shines like it did when he was young. He has no mirror to check. He is stronger now than when they took the Wani. Stronger than before the Agni Kai. Faster. Meaner. It takes 12 Dai Li to take him out on a good day. He eats obscene amounts of fish and chicken pig and vegetables and not much else. He sits and drinks tea with his uncle, staring at the sweets the old man chews on, wondering what they taste like. He doesn't remember. He reaches for one and gets backhanded by the guard for his trouble. He sips his tea, tasting blood. 13. They ask him for maps of the palace. They ask him for his father's routine, his sister's. He sits in the corner of his cell and answers, the heels of his hands digging into his eyes, tears running down his face. 14. Your father knows you're here, Jing Cheng says one day. Zuko stares. Long Fen tried for ransom first. They declared you dead. Zuko tries to answer, but no words make it past the lump in his throat. Just, I thought you should know, kid. The older man sighs, scrubbing his face with one hand. Maybe you shouldn't be wasting all that pain on that family of yours. 15. Zuko's hair is nearing his shoulders the first time Long Feng sends him to the bedroom to wait. After, he wonders why he had never considered this possibility, eventuality. There are so many people his father has hurt. 16. He's stuck in his room. Cell. Nicer now, but still a cell. One day, after a bedroom night. Long Feng must have set rules on damage, because none of the men or women had hurt him much before. But this time was different. Things had gotten out of hand. Jing Cheng stops by to visit, and doesn't say a word. Just hands him a cup of tea and sits down. His eyes linger on the bruising around his neck, and Zuko wonders if it's distinct enough to see the fingerprints. There's pity in the older man's gaze, and Zuko throws the cup of tea at him, snarling. 17. Sometime after Zuko's hair reaches his shoulders, his uncle stops speaking. He still goes and sits with him as often as he can, combing his hair and telling stories until his voice is hoarse and aching. Some days, he just cries. 18. He kills the next man he waits for in the bedroom, and they drag him, bruised and bleeding, to his uncle's room. They break all of his fingers, tear off the nails. They hold a red-hot iron against his wrinkled forearms again and again and again. His uncle whimpers and cries, and Zuko screams himself hoarse from 5 feet away, a Dai Li holding each of his limbs down, another dragging his head up by his hair so he has to watch. He's not sure if he could look away anyway. He thinks, distantly, that he sounds like a dog, echoing one of the wildfire warning horns back home. He doesn't know who the man was. He can't bring himself to care. Is there a limit, he wonders, to how many people one can care about? 19. Jing Cheng pulls him into a tight embrace in the combat room the next day, then leaps back like he's been burned when Zuko flinches hard, every muscle in his body tense. He tries to apologize, but Zuko brushes past him. So there are handprint bruises across his body. Does the idiot think that's a new phenomenon? It takes 14 Dai Li to put him down. 5 of them have to go to the healer. 20. He has new scars now, to go with the big one on his face. His body is littered with jagged white lines from shards of stone, ropey raised skin from glancing blows from chunk of rock or bad falls. There's some new ones on his face, too, he knows, but he hasn't seen them. He licks his lip and feels the smooth scar tissue where a split lip didn't heal right. He can't remember if it was from the combat room or the bedroom. Most of the ones on his face are from the bedroom. 21. They're stronger than me. Better than me, he thinks. They'll wipe the floor with you. Zuko wipes the floor with them these days. He's not sure anymore of these thoughts. Held close, never spoken, are still relieving or now dread-inducing. He's not sure who he hates more, who he hopes will lose. Azula, he thinks one night, staring at the ceiling, could get in here any time she wanted. Zuko could leave any time he wanted now. He knows all the Dai Li's tricks. He doesn't leave. He can't. 22. Jing Cheng is the one guarding his uncle's room one day. Zuko stops halfway through a story about pirates and a storm near the North Pole. Jing Sheng shifts. Zuko keeps combing. Jing Sheng says, "Are you not going to finish?" Zuko stares at him. "Does it matter? It was a good story." "He doesn't even hear me anymore," Zuko says harshly. "It doesn't matter if I finish the fucking story." The agent doesn't have anything to say to that. 23. He can tell they start to worry about his uncle's health because they start hitting him instead. He doesn't mind. They can't do much to him if they want to keep him useful. His uncle has sacrificed enough, given enough, bled enough for him. It's only fair that Zuko gives for once instead of taking, taking, taking. 24. He breaks his hand in the combat room one day when his hair is long enough to make a decent tail. He doesn't, though. Long Feng shows up in his room, cell, for the first time in weeks, months, years, to tell him to be more careful. He emphasizes it with bedroom nights scheduled every day for 2 weeks. He's not allowed to visit his uncle until he's back in fighting shape. He spends his days sleeping and staring at the walls, thinking of gray hair in his hands and the smell of jasmine tea. He endures. 25. When his hair gets long enough that it's getting in the way and he refuses to tie it back, they hold him down and cut it all off. He thinks the tail would have been pretty long. He wonders how long he's been here. Jing Sheng would probably tell him if he asked. He doesn't ask. 26. He's grown, he knows. His shoulders are broader, his frame solid, his punches and kicks lethally strong. His fire burns, light and bright, hotter than it's ever been. He supposes that's what all the food is for, all the sleep. He wonders how much he looks like his father now. He surprises himself when he realizes he's relieved for the scar. He'll never look much like his father. By the time his hair is brushing his ears again, it takes 24 Dai Li to take him out clean. 20, if they're willing to take casualties. Zuko wonders if they think they'll be able to get that many into the palace. He wonders what they'll do with him if they don't. 27. He thinks that sometimes, when he goes to the bedroom now, the person who comes doesn't know who he is. He's not sure if that makes it better or worse, that they're not there for his father, but for him. It means less bruises, though, so he guesses that's something. 28. He's sitting against the wall one night, breathing through the aftermath of a nightmare, when a group of children turns down his hall. "Whoa, hey, are you all right?" Zuko blinks at the yellow and orange boy, his tattooed blue arrow and big gray eyes. "Toph, can you open this?" The bars fall as the earth around them dissolve. Zuko shakes his head. "You go 3 rounds with a platypus bear, buddy?" one of 2 older boys says, dressed in blue. "Your face is like 4 colors."
"No," Zuko says slowly. "Who are you?"
"I'm the Avatar," the yellow boy chirps, grinning. "You want to break out? We're breaking out my friend, Appa. He's a flying bison." Zuko lets out a noise that might have been a surprised laugh, once. He doesn't move. He wonders if he's dreaming.
"They have my uncle."
"We can get him too," a girl dressed in blue assures. "Yeah," the Avatar agrees. "The more people we can get out of here, the better. Longfang is awful. He brainwashed Jet."
Zuko eyes the indicated boy. "He doesn't look very brainwashed." The boy jerks a thumb in the blue girl's direction, straw sticking out of his mouth. "Katara here sorted it out." Zuko calculates, figures that it is too fucking ridiculous for Long Feng to come up with, and stands.
29. His uncle dies a few weeks later regardless, his health too deteriorated from years of neglect. But his mind is clear for the first time in years. Zuko sits with him whenever they camp and tells him stories, lifting a cup of tea to his lips.
"How long, nephew?" he asks one day. "Years." And the old man weeps.
30. The day after Iroh dies, Zuko sits down to tell a different story, one he's never told before.
The faces around the campfire are all so young. They look up at him in anticipation, maybe expecting a good story, like the ones he would tell Uncle, full of adventure. He is sorry that this is not one of those stories. He is sorry they have to hear it. He knows some of them are almost the same age as he is, but sometimes he feels so, so old. Like he was under the lake for decades instead of years. "I don't know how long I was in Bossing Say," he begins. "In the beginning, everything was hazy, uncertain. I slept for hours and hours and couldn't keep anything down." The end.